Good morning. It's good to see everybody. I know some of y'all know what's happened, some of you don't. So I really felt like the Lord just wanted me to release, you know, his heart to heal today. So I'm going to talk about healing in the physical. And I think I've earned it after this. I'll start off and say I'm really grateful to be alive. I want to open with a scripture, and it's from Psalm 138, verse 8, and it's out of the Passion Translation. And it says, "You," meaning God, "keep every promise you've ever made to me." I'm so raw from this and so raw from being touched by God in such a huge way. It's going to be emotional. "You keep every promise you've ever made to me. Since your love for me is so constant and endless, I ask you, Lord, to finish every good thing that you've begun in me." I think on November 8th, y'all were praying for me because I had a sinus infection, but that was just kind of the pre-party of what was going to happen on my birthday, which was November 10th. And some of you maybe read my Facebook post. I thought, wow, I could have asked for a lot of things for my birthday, but emergency surgery was not one of them. So I'm one organ less now, which is kind of interesting to think about. But I'm going to tell you in the natural what happened, and then I'm going to back into it with God and with what I feel is, because people have asked me, well, what's God been saying? Like, what are your takeaways, or what all has happened? And if I called these points takeaways, I think that would make it cheap. I really believe they are pillars of foundation of healing. And, you know, we're all about the healing ministry here, but I think sometimes the church has a tendency to avoid physical healing because we're scared of disappointing someone. And I'm not scared of that. I'm not scared of going there today. I'm not scared of sharing this with you today. I never have been. And now more than ever, I'm absolutely not. And at the end of this talk, we're going after physical healing. So if you need to go after I start to wrap us up, feel free. But we're going after physical healing because I feel like the Lord's releasing that today. But so on my birthday, I was actually supposed to be in College Station. My daughter texted me about 6 in the morning, and she said, I was going to a Kappa Moms weekend with her, and she said, "Mom, I think I broke my foot last night, and it really hurts." And I was like, well, then come here with your brother. Our oldest was there. He was heading down south with my husband to the ranch to work. And I said, "We'll get in the car with your brother." And because I know an ortho here, I'm not going to go to a doc in the box in College Station. They're going to send you an ortho. And I've got, with my youngest athlete who breaks everything, I've got him all speed dial. I already texted Wally Strash that morning. I had her in. So she came here, and I noticed at about noon my stomach started to hurt. And it just kept getting worse and worse all day. And I was like, wow, this is some birthday. And she was like, "Well, Mom, what do you want to do for dinner? You want to go out?" And I was like, "You know, my stomach is really bothering me. Let me just pick something up." So by 7 o'clock that night, I just started to get really sick. And it wasn't like a nausea sick. It was just like a pain. But then I started to vomit. Just don't mean to get graphic, but I'm going to give you the details. And it got to be so much after about 3 hours that I just started to feel like everything draining out of my head. I don't know if you've ever felt that sick, but I could just literally feel it. And I realized I was about to pass out. And I remember asking the Lord, I said, "Lord, do I need to go to the emergency room?" And I just heard and saw a yes. And I said, "Georgia, you need to take me to the emergency room." So we went over here to the med clinic at Alamo Heights. And thank God, Georgia is good friends with Andrea Magoon, whose dad, Dr. Mike Magoon, owns that. He was not there that night, but ended up coming in. And so they're trying to stop me from getting sick. We're talking about a lot of things. I'm getting so, so sick. And he says, "If you don't get better by tomorrow, I want you to come back." And so the next day comes, and my fever is just raging. I'm getting really, really high fever. I still have incredible stomach pain, and now it started to become back pain, which I didn't realize that was all part of a gallbladder, like getting ready to rupture type thing. And so George is like, "Mom, we need to go back. Mom, we need to go back." And I was so sick. I was like, "I'm not going back. I'm laying in this bed. I'm sure I'll be fine," because I'm not thinking gallbladder. I'm just thinking, I don't know what I'm thinking. I'm just so weak. And so she calls her friend Andrea calls her dad, her dad calls the med clinic and says to call me and tell me to come back in. So I end up going back in, which I would not have gone back in. I've decided I'm a really bad patient. I didn't realize that. I have a pretty high pain tolerance, so I'd always kind of feel like I can just, you know, kind of buckle up through it. And I was so sick that, you know, at that point, everything's just shutting down. And all I could think of was, I've seen animals pass away, and this is kind of the same scenario where you're just in and out of awareness. Everything is going wrong. They're shooting me up with all kinds of stuff there, and I'm like, I don't flush any more antibiotics through me, you know, because I'm such a holistic, try to be healthy person. And we do a CT scan, and we realize my gallbladder is just like a balloon, huge. And he's like, ma'am, we're putting you in an ambulance. You need to go to the hospital right now. And of course, I'm thinking, how much is this going to cost me? That literally was my first thought. To ride in that ambulance. And I'm like, can't I just, I was like, look, it's the weekend. No one's going to be there. It's like, ma'am, you need to go. Anyway, I complied, put me in the ambulance, sent me to the hospital, and then had my gallbladder removed at dawn on Sunday. And it was inflamed, enlarged, and infected. And they had to end up scraping it off my liver. It had gotten so big. And so I guess my coloring was really bad, too, was another part of all that, which August was with me. And I think your coloring gets really bad, and I look pretty rough. So grateful to God to be alive. And I'm going to share with you where God was in all of that, because it's easy to be like, the first thing I want to mention, if you're writing these down, here's your first foundational mindset is, I want to tell you that why never entered my heart or mind. I never, ever asked God, why is this happening to me? And when I sit down with people that are going through physical problems, whether it's from cancer to anything, the first thing they always say, why is God doing this to me? And I want to just, and I'm like, wow, I've earned the right to say this now. You know, before I believed it, but now it's like, man, I know this and I've earned this. So there's an impartation here. That is the wrong question. Like, that's the question that's never going to get answered while we're here on earth, is why. It's just not. It's a dead-end question. It's actually a question, I think, that sets you up in a place of demanding versus relationship. It's kind of like if you have a young child and you're like, go clean your room. And they're like, why? They're like, well, because I said so. Why? Well, because we like to keep the house clean. Why? You know, it's never a question that engages God into a relationship. It's sort of this place of defiance. Like, God, why are you doing this to me? You're already setting up your heart to be offended with him. That never, ever entered my heart or entered my mind. All I thought was, God, show me where you are, because I know that you are with me. And as weak as I was, and you can't even sometimes think when you're that sick. But, you know, I think the disadvantage for us is we live in a culture that values a Greek mindset. And a Greek mindset reveres the intellect. We've learned through school deductive reasoning, cause and effect. So we're always sort of looking to those things. That's our mindset as a culture. So why is something that might naturally pop in, why is God doing that? And then we run into really bad theology of people trying to figure out why God would do this. And we've seen people crushed through the ages of bad theology of trying to figure out why. Y'all, we're burst into mystery. When we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are burst into mystery. And there will be things that we will never know until we go home to heaven. And it's just that simple. And it's just getting to that place of accepting, you know what, Lord? You know, and that's enough. You know exactly what's going on. He wasn't surprised by that. That didn't take him by surprise. And then he was scrambling to figure out how to save me. He wasn't surprised by it. I was surprised. I thought, I cannot believe this. I can't believe I'm getting my gallbladder out. Or as my husband calls it, my gizzard. He's like, hey, getting your gizzard out. And we had to have a whole discussion with the doctor. Is this a gizzard? Is this a gallbladder? What is this? He's a rancher. It just, you know, life has to relate back to animals. And then we have diagrams, and it was just hilarious. But I'm like, that didn't take God by surprise. He knew. So when we go into this place of, God, why is this happening? We're not you know, tucking ourselves under his wing. We're sort of putting ourselves in this place of defiance. And I love in, I think it's Psalm 63. I didn't write it down, but it says, "Because you're my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings." Because you're my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I'm going to sing to my Lord. I'm not going to worry about the why. That's not the question that's going to get answered here. And there's a lot of, I know that question. It's one of the hardest things that when I'm trying to help someone in physical healing, especially someone I'm helping pray with through cancer, is for them to get past. Why is this happening to me? But you know what I want to say about that? Why not me? You know, I think we get in this mindset that Christianity is going to be this hall pass to adversity and sickness and disease, and it's not. I mean, Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. John 16, in this world, you are going to have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So I can either be defiant and demanding of the Lord, or I can just tuck myself in the shadow of his wings and sing. It's a choice. He's overcome the world. Greater is he that is in me than he who is in this world. So why not me? Just because I get up here and talk about Jesus, it isn't a guarantee or an insurance that I'm never going to have a problem in my life. We're going to have adversity. We're going to have trials. You know, we get to show God off. And I thought, all right, Lord, glorify yourself in this whole process then. Glorify yourself. Show yourself. And I just kept looking for him because I knew he was there, which really leads me to number two, which is looking for him, for his provision, for his touch. I was so grateful in that moment of the in and out of this med clinic and hospital of knowing what I taught my kids. And I want to in the healing ministry, there's a few things that we do, and I want to give you all those tools because I thought so many times I walk into hospitals or someone's home where they're really sick, and I ask them, you know, have you done this or that? And I'm like, the whole point is we want to go in and set an atmosphere of heaven. This is how we help people look for him and his provision. So I want to teach you how you set that atmosphere of heaven, and then I want to show you the outcome of that through what's happened with me. The first thing, so I'm in there in the med clinic, I guess, Friday night with Georgia, who's 19, and I said, Georgia, you need to text people to pray. And she babysits, or used to, for Anne and Andrew, and then she did community worship with August. So August and Anne kind of have an ongoing relationship with Georgia, and I think they were the first ones she texted, please pray for my mom, she's really sick. Get people to pray for you. There is no reason. I don't care if it's your big toes infected. Get people to pray for you. This is how we change this world, is you gather your kingdom community. Y'all, we don't do small groups here because we are a small group. This is your kingdom community. If you know the person next to you or in the, say, hey, I need prayer. You know, this is what's going on. Get people to pray for you. Do not be so prideful. People want to pray. We all want to see God move. I mean, this is how we allow God. This is how we invite him in. This is how we give him the invitation to start moving and shift that atmosphere. The other thing I said to Georgia was anoint the room that I'm in. Because I want to tell you something. I don't want to go into that med clinic or that hospital and pick up on someone's leftovers. Right. Spiritually. So I said, anoint the room. So George is like, all right. And even if she doesn't have anointing oil, she knows in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, I bless this room. And then I said, George, start releasing angels. Okay, Lord, bring your angels right now to come and minister to mommy. Come, Lord, bring your angels. Let them clean out. I even asked for housekeeping angels to come in and clean out the room. You know, if there's anything, sweep it out. You know, and you release the angels, so you've anointed the room, you're releasing angels, and then I said, just put the worship music on. I don't want to watch the television. I want worship playing, whether I can hear it, whether I can't. Because there was a point where I thought, they're shooting so much stuff up in this IV, I am so, so sick that I may go to sleep and I may not wake up. I mean, it just came down to that where I thought I could just feel my mind wanting to just fade because I'm just so, so sick because your body gets septic and everything's just, you know, going wrong. It's like, but I wanted that worship music playing because that's what I wanted to hear. Whether I'm awake or not, I didn't want to be without listening to the Lord. I think it's important to know something about yourself if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you bring heaven wherever you go. You're bringing heaven. You are a move of God. And I remember when August walked into the med clinic on Saturday night, and I thought, I know what she carries. I know what she carries. I just remember thinking that I know what she carries. And I needed that. I mean, I had told my husband, don't come back for the ranch. I'm going to be fine. I mean, George was like, Mom, I really think this something's wrong. But, you know, August just showed up and said, I'm here. Georgia cannot do this alone. At this point, we realized something was really wrong. And I remember thinking, I know what she carries. And she carries worship and praise to our God no matter what is happening. And if she broke out into song, I would have been just as happy to hear that too. You need to know that you are a move of God. That when you, wherever you go, that things have to clear out because you're there. You're not there to combat things, or you're not there. Things can't come on you or come over you. You are a move of God, and you bring heaven wherever you go. These worship songs that we sing, that's who you are. That was your first love language before you ever even got here to earth, was worship and praise with him. And when things are really not going the way we think they are in the natural, you go back to your first love. And that's worship. And that's praise. You go back to your first love. And everything in your body starts to rise up and praise him. Because down to your very cells are made to praise him. Just like August was saying, even the rocks cry out. Because the rocks, if the rocks knows how to worship God, let me tell you, our worship is 1,000 times more powerful. And you do that no matter what, no matter where, no matter when. That's who you are. You know, I have to say, as horrible as this was, I will tell you it was extraordinarily peaceful in the most beautiful ways. You know, August was there. They put me in the ambulance, and August was, hey, what a friend, following the ambulance. And I remember laying there just thinking, because Georgia had to go home and get clothes, and thank God her friend Parker had broken his tooth that weekend, and he was home helping her. You know, I told Kim, I said, that's why Parker busted his tooth, because he's in College Station with Georgia. They're best friends. And so he took Georgia home to get my stuff, and I just remember laying in the ambulance, and I was just like, wow, you know, August is following me. And I said, Lord, I knew how to anoint myself. I was still that aware. I was like, Lord, in the name of the Father, Son, release your angels in this ambulance. The guys could not have been nicer. We get into the hospital. I mean, it couldn't have gone smoother. One good thing is that, like, my room was ready. I didn't have to wait. Like, they just take you on in. That was the... But I will tell you, the real... when I finally knew I was going to live through this, I got in my room, and my turn, you know, they put me in the bed and everything. And, I mean, I'm just so shot up full of stuff and feel like 110 degrees, and my back is screaming because it's all, everything's just jacked up. And I looked over on the table there, and next to it is this sign, and it's from the housekeeping representative, and it says blessed, and then it has my birthday, and this is Saturday night, November 11th. And when I saw that, I knew I was coming out of this healed and blessed. And I thought, oh, wow, there's no way I can lose on this deal. I mean, I don't know if blessed was an actual person or this is what that person wrote on here. I do not know. I never met him or her. But I would just stare at that because, you know, you're so weak. You don't have a lot of capacity. And I would just stare at that and say, I am blessed. I am blessed. The surgeon that was sent Sunday morning, God bless him, he was a believer, which I had never met him before. I did not know him, and I thank God that he was a believer. It was just one other sign. And I remember Saturday night, just, you know, Wink and Glenn and Kate, they all just showed up in my room, Jack, and they just got around me and just circled the bed. and laid hands on me and just declared life over me. And I thought, it's so powerful what Kingdom Community does. And, you know, my husband drove up from the ranch at this point. He was like, I'm coming. And I was so proud of him because after, you know, it was, I don't know what time it was. And he said, honey, let me anoint you, which he doesn't really sometimes. This is more my wheelhouse than his. But I thought, wow, God, you know. And he leaned over and anointed me and prayed with me. And I thought, it's just so powerful. And all I could say through that time, was thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the Kingdom Community. Get people to pray for you. If you've come here today and you've thought about making a prayer appointment for yourself, but you've been hesitant, just do it. You're blessed. And you have every right to really know the depth of those blessings that God has for you. The fourth thing I want to mention is I really came to understand what it meant to rest in the knowing that you know. There is an invitation on this walk while we're here on earth, and we need to take hold of it now because when we get to heaven, we won't have the opportunity. But that invitation is to go from believing to knowing. You know, we can say, well, I believe in Jesus, I believe in that, but then there's always that but. And then there just comes this time when you're like, I just know. I just know. I know that Jesus shows up every time I pray. I know that Jesus always moves. I know that he will never leave me or forsake me. I know that. And I rested in the knowing that I knew. It was not about me being in this place and having to work up faith. And I'll be honest, I could not even think of a scripture. The only two scriptures that came to my mind was, yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Now, I don't study the King James, but that's just the way that it came into my mind. And I just kept saying it over and over. And the other one was, death, where is your sting? Because there was a point where I thought, you know, Lord, am I ready? I know where I'm going. I know who my Lord is. And I also knew that he would take care of my family no matter what the outcome was. There's this invitation to go from believing to knowing, and that is where you rest. And the Lord showed me when I was in the hospital, I think it was in the middle of the night, and I'm just laying there listening to my husband snore. God bless him. He was exhausted. I was just, you know, the nurse came in, and she's like, all right, we're gonna give you some morphine. And I was like, no. And she's like, man, we've got to get your pain under control. And I thought, I don't want to lose my mind. I don't want, and I said, you can give me the lowest possible dose of morphine, but I did not want to lose awareness. I wanted to be able to bless myself or pray. I wanted to be aware. I just didn't want him just sticking stuff in that IV and I just kind of fade away. I don't know. I just said, you can give me the lowest possible dose, which meant I didn't really sleep well because I'm in a lot of pain and all this fever and everything's going crazy. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, you remember all those mornings that you got up? You didn't want to. I get up every morning at about 5:30, and you sat and you read the word. He said, do you remember all those mornings sometimes when the word just felt like it didn't penetrate? You know, sometimes you can read a word of God and you're like, wow, I really get this. And other times you're like, you may go a month and not really feel like the word is doing anything for you. He goes, that's what's fighting for you right now. He goes, every precious word of scripture that you have ever put into your mind and your heart is rising up in power within you and it is fighting for you. And I just rested at that point because I knew that through those years, every morning, whether I felt like it or not, I got up and I read the Word of God and I poured the Word of God into my life and it fought for me. Because I realized when you get to those places when you are incapacitated and you are weak and you don't have the capacity to lean on your own mind, your spirit man does take over. And I was like, wow, my spirit man. Go, girl, you go. I'm resting knowing that his scripture was fighting for me. There is nothing more important in this life than reading the Word of God. And I know I've said it many times, but it's worth repeating because it is so paramount to our walk. And many people, I say, well, I mean, I do, but I don't really feel like anything's happening. I want you to stick with it. In fact, I might encourage you this Christmas season to really get to know him through his word. And you just say, I'm going to set aside this specific time every day and read the word of God, whether I feel like it or not, whether I feel like it's penetrating my heart or not, I'm going to be consistent. Because the Lord showed me that in the consistency that I had with him is where the power is. You know, we all want to go to a service or a conference and we want to like get, you know, slammed in the Holy Spirit or have this aha moment and this power moment. And I want to tell you, the power comes in your consistency to be in relationship with him in his word. And if you don't have a translation that you enjoy, then get one. New International Version. The Passion Translation, which is mainly the New Testament with Psalms and Proverbs and Song of Songs, a wonderful translation. I don't care what the message, get the Word of God in you. Because I used to think that, you know, there's that quote in Timothy that it says, you know, be ready in and out of season. And I used to think that really only applies to like when you're ministering or going to proclaim the Word or that you always want to have something good to say about Jesus. But I realized it really applied here in this time of just absolute physical, serious illness. Be ready in and out of season. The word of God was fighting for me. I couldn't fight for myself. I mean, I couldn't remember much. You're just so sick. You're just in and out of awareness. You've got so much stuff going in the IV and so much happening around you. But the word of God was fighting for me. And that was powerful when God said that, because at that moment I just rested. And I just kept saying, thank you, Jesus. I bless you, Lord. That's all I could say or thank. I love you, Lord. Which leads me to my fifth point, which is you cannot break someone who keeps their eyes on Jesus. You can't break that person. This may sound prideful, but it's not, because it's coming from a really raw place with him. I was unbreakable. It didn't matter what the outcome was. I was not going to get distracted and get my eyes off of Jesus. I was, you know, trying to get the information that I needed, the medical information, but I just kept saying, thank you, Jesus. I bless you, Jesus. I love you, Lord God. No matter how bad the pain was, no matter how sick I felt, I wasn't going to get into the why. I wasn't get into the self-pity. Self-pity is actually demonic. There is no glory in self-pity. I just kept saying, thank you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. I wasn't saying thank you for making me sick. Just thank you for being with me. I know you're with me, God. I know you're with me. A lot of people have asked and ask over the ages is, wow, you know, when you really step out there and start doing a lot of stuff for God, like, look what happened to you. Like, you know, the enemy just came and wanted to take you out or kill you. Or you hear things like higher levels, you know, bigger devils. And I just don't believe that. I really don't believe that. I have really been like, wow, I'm getting an upgrade. I am getting an upgrade in the spiritual, and I am all over that. I am getting an upgrade. Yep. In fact, I keep calling it my Bill Johnson anointing, because Bill Johnson, who's out at Bethel, had this whole digestive issue, really serious. And I'm like, yeah, okay, this is my upgrade. I'm getting an upgrade. I don't believe that God leads me to take bigger territory or do bigger things for him, and I'm doing it solo without his protection and his provision. I don't believe that. But I do believe we live in a fallen world. Yes, we live in a fallen world. Do I believe we're at war? Yes, I do believe that. But I feel like his strategy is always available. Yeah. Always available. I feel like he always has something to say. And he's always pressing in so that we will hear and pick up on that and use his presence to guide us. The more we stay in worship, the more we cannot be broken. And the less we're worried about all the other stuff. This isn't about, you know, going in and taking down principalities and demonic stuff. And someone's like, well, is this a demonic attack? I don't know. I don't know, and I don't care. I love Jesus, and he's with me. And he's shown up in thousands of ways throughout this whole thing. And I mean, the recovery took quite a long time. I thought I was going to bounce back from this, and I didn't, and I got frustrated. But I kept my worship music on. And finally, about 3 days later, I watched America's Test Kitchen to see all the things that I couldn't eat right then, but at least thought, well, this is something entertaining. So I just want to encourage you that the more you do for the Lord, it doesn't make you a target. You already are a target. That's just how we are. But the thing is, you have the biggest lifesaver there is, and his name is Jesus Christ. And it's more about just tapping into what God's strategy is, was we don't need to ask the question why. It's not going to get answered. And just putting that away forever for good. And saying, God, what are you saying? That's the question we get to ask. What are you saying about this? Where are you, Lord? Then you're looking for him. You're looking for his provision, the ways that he shows up, whether it's in people, through prayer. That's why you get people to start praying for you. You get to rest in the knowing that you know him. You get to step into that place of, you know what, I'm not going to just juggle around with belief anymore. I'm stepping into knowing that I know who God is. And just knowing that the enemy can't break you, because you're going to worship your Lord. And worship doesn't always mean music. It just means, thank you, God. Bless you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you. Worship means doing everything you do as if you're doing it unto him, including children, families, work, whatever it is. Doing everything you do as if you're serving him. You have an audience of one, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to read to you out of Isaiah 35. I'm going to read this passage to you, and I'll tell you why. At the beginning of every year, I always ask the Lord, like, what are you saying about this year? And this was the passage that he gave me, was Isaiah 35. And this has definitely been a really, really challenging year. And I've had to read this over and over again, because I'm like, okay, I want to make sure I understand. I want to make sure. But when we're asking for breakthrough, there's going to be resistance. And today what I'm going to be asking the Lord to do is do physical healing. And I don't know what we're going to do after I read this is you're just going to stay seated. And if you have a physical ailment that you want prayer for, our prayer team is going to come around and pray with you and anoint you right where you are. So you're just going to raise your hand, and I'm just going to be up here sort of praying. And I don't want you to be shy about it. I mean, if it's a hangnail that's bothering you, God wants to heal that, you know? If it's something even bigger, God wants to. His heart is to heal us. He does not author sickness and disease to teach us a lesson. I think that is a lie. That's bad theology. That's not what he does. He's a healer. Isaiah 35 says, "The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom." If you feel like you've been in a wilderness, rejoicing, blossoming, all of that is yours. That's what God's doing this year, right now. "Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. And they will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God." The shouts for joy, you realize that you need to prime the pump, which means you need to open your mouth so that the joy can come out. You don't wait for the shout to rise up. You say, okay, Lord, I know you're giving me shouts of joy. I'm going to open my mouth so that you have a vessel to use through it. So you realize that when you're crying out for the shouts of joy, you need to open your mouth so that you can hear him. They could, I love you, even if it starts little, I love you, Lord, joy, 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 so that you begin to feel it rise up. "Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear. Your God will come, and he will come with vengeance, with divine retribution, and he will come to save you. You are not going to perish." Y'all, the enemy cannot kill me. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. We've already died. He can't kill us. He can't kill us. I might change form. And someday I will change form and I will go to heaven. But this whole worrying about being killed and taken out by the enemy, that's not true. It says right here, he will come with vengeance, with divine retribution, and he will come to save you. Save you doesn't always mean rescue. It didn't mean like, wow, or at that instant God healed me and I got up and walked out of that hospital. He's going to save me. Sometimes we're going to have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And we have a choice to fear or not. It's fear or freedom. Then will the eyes of the blind be open and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. If you feel like your heart has been in a desert, God is releasing streams today. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, and that is for you today. If you feel like your marriage is in a desert, if you feel like your work life is in a desert, the Lord is bringing the blooms today. That's what's happening today, right now. I'm not standing up here. God didn't save my life for me to just talk. He's imparting. He's inviting you all into something. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground, bubbling springs, and the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. It's springtime. It's springtime. Lord, release your fragrance so they can even smell springtime right now. And a highway is going to be here. There's a highway here today, and it's called the Way of Holiness. And the unclean, they're not going to journey on it. It'll be for those who walk in the way. The wicked fools, they're not going to go on about it. No lion's going to be here. There's nothing that's going to hurt you or harm you here. There won't be any ferocious beast, and they won't be found there. Only the redeemed, that's you, only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. That's you. If you feel like you haven't been on God's highway, he's calling you back to that. He's calling you back to that. There's no way you can take a wrong turn in all this. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. So what I want you to do is, if you can close your eyes, you can keep your eyes open, but if you want prayer for physical healing, God's healing people today, I'd love for you to just raise your hand. You can just stay there. And Ann, Katie, Deborah, Roslyn, would you mind praying? Glenn, even Jack and Wink, if y'all would just come. And these are quick prayers. We've got some people up here, right there. If y'all would pray for those that have their hands raised in the back. And they're right here. And if you don't have someone praying with you right now, just wait a little bit, because these are going to be quick prayers. We're just going to ask what it is you want prayer for, and we're going to release the healing of Jesus. So Jesus, I thank you. Jesus, we bless you. Lord, I just release right now a healing atmosphere in this room. Lord, would you just come like healing oil? And just begin to pour down, especially on those that have their hands raised, Father God. Would you just loosen joints? We just say back pain, go. Lord, headaches, go in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, any places of stress in our bodies, Lord, that we've carried and have manifested in pain or tightness, Lord, we just speak to that to say go in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that every single woman in this room is blessed. And in your blessing, Lord, is this beautiful cleansing and healing of the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Jesus, that the revelation of your cross, of us coming into knowing the revelation of all that you accomplished, all that you won, all the victory of the cross is available for us right now, Father God. I ask that you expand our knowledge of who you are, what you've done. Lord, those places of doubt where we've doubted whether you're for us or you've wanted to heal us, Lord. Katie, over here. I ask that you would just erase those, Lord, right now in Jesus' mighty name. Something that you can check right now physically, you can check whether it's still hurting or not. I just ask that you would do that and let us know where your pain is. Or if you felt something leave or something even like a gentleness come over you, I want to hear about that too. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just thank you that you continue to pour out. We get to release, Lord, today, that we can even be joyful when we don't feel good, simply because, Father God, you've been pouring into us. Lord, even in those times where we didn't even know you were pouring into us, you are. And Father, I ask that you deepen the understanding of the women in this room. I ask that when they go to your word, whether it's today or tomorrow, I ask that they receive such deep revelation that it begins to shift every single thing inside of them, physically as well as mentally. Lord, I ask that you would just break off the old stale thoughts that we have. I ask that as we enter this Christmas season, that you just make it different for them, Lord. And they see these little God prints all over their days, Lord. Godly encounters, divine encounters, godly friends. Your scripture would become so alive in them, Lord. They would really taste and see that it is the living word of God, the truth of God. I just thank you for that, Lord. I thank you, Father God, that we are not left in a desert, that we're not left in a wilderness, and right here on this road. Okay. Rosalind. Right, yeah, these. I thank you, God, that we are led forth by rivers of living water. Lord, I thank you that we can rejoice in who you are. I thank you for the stake that you've made on our life, Glenn. Up here, we've got two right here. If you haven't received prayer but want prayer, just keep your hand up if you're not too tired. Oh, thank you. Lord, I just thank you in those places where we felt limp and lifeless, Lord, that you're breathing life into those places right now. Anybody received prayer and they've been able to check what it was physically that's been hurting them that they've been able to see? If it felt any better? Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.